How's it going for you? This is Wildy and Tausch, believe it or not. We ran into some technical difficulties in Madison. We're still working to resolve those. Jesse and Ashton and the whole crew are working on it. We've lost Tommy Waddle, and we don't know if we'll rejoin him at any juncture during the 11 o'clock hour. He's got his own show to get ready for. But Tausch, I thought Tom Waddle was very insightful and also realistic, especially talking about the Bears' defense. And I'm super curious, even more so than I had been before, about what this Packers offense, which may show some rust early in the game, will do against it. Agreed?
Yeah. I just think, you know, for the concerns I have, which is Baltimore and Philadelphia, what Chicago did to them. And I don't know about you, it didn't feel like the Bears ran it down our throats down in Chicago. It did in the second half of the game up at Lambeau. That is the concern, because Ben Johnson knows his football team. He knows this defense is not going to slow down. It's not going to stop the Green Bay Packers. At best, they're going to slow down, and if they can get anything close to the results that they did the last time we were in Soldier Field, they take it today. He knows they're going to have to score, and I would bet they're going to be Dan Campbell-esque on fourth down. I think they realize if they get opportunities, they're not going to be able to have any empty possessions, because they know where their defense is. And, you know, being out on the field the last, I think Tommy said, four games, 36 and a half minutes, that's a lot of football. And it's a short week for them. They just had a long day at Soldier Field against the Lions. They were out there a bunch. They're banged up. They got one of their corners with a concussion. They got another guy coming back that they hope can play. He's not going to be, you know, you talk about rust. He's been out for a while. So that's where my confidence comes, is that I just feel like, how rusty are we going to be early? Because if we're not, I don't know how this Bears defense is going to be able to, without creating turnovers, how are they going to slow down this offense? Christian Watson, et cetera, because they didn't do it when Malik Willis was in there at quarterback.
I thought it was interesting, as Waddle was talking about that and some of the injury issues they have in the back end, that, again, this was, and I don't rip in any way Ben Johnson for playing his guys. I agreed with Waddle, and I thought I saw you nodding along too. I don't understand why Nick Sirianni didn't play his guys in his game with the number two seed at stake. It made no sense. That said, you know, that was the danger, and that was the thing that they were trying to avoid in Green Bay when they played in Minnesota, was to not lose a guy. And look, they were still close to losing a guy, right? I mean, they lost Bo Melton, but they almost lost one of their key defensive pieces. Because there was a moment where it was a scary deal with Javon Bullard. So that was the risk. I'll be very curious to see. So I don't know when we're taking our next break, so I'm going to tell this story because we talked about this yesterday, Tausch. So Mike McCarthy, you know, called me on purpose, but inadvertently, because he thought he was someone else named Jason was who he needed to call back. That he didn't. I don't know. Maybe he's looking to have a Jason on his defensive staff in Tennessee. But I asked him about 2011 and whether or not if he would do it differently if he had to do it over again, because that's what we were talking about. I told him we were going to use this. So this was on the record. But what he brought up, and frankly, I failed the other day. Yesterday, to point this out, and I should have, because I now remember very vividly what it was like. He believes that what he did wrong, Tausch, was how he handled Joe Philbin's son's death and how heavy that was for players. You know, I mean, Joe Philbin is one of your all-time favorite coaches, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So you know how beloved he was and for what he was going through. And I went to that funeral, and Domofsky went to the, like, it was a lot. And, you know, Joe coached in the game, and maybe he shouldn't have. You know, everyone grieves differently, and he probably needed that, maybe, for something to think about other than what he was going through, the tragedy he was going through. But what Mike's point was that he felt like he didn't do a great job of handling the team and their emotions, and that there were a lot of guys that had never been to a funeral before on that team. And I thought that was interesting because that's one of those things that kind of gets lost to history, right? Like, it doesn't really get talked about. We talk about, well, they rested all their guys. Well, yeah, they did. And then they had a bye week. You know, the Cowboys went through a tragedy this season that just happened to occur while they were on their bye. Like, this happened days before that playoff game against the Giants. You weren't on that team, but I assume, and tell me if I'm wrong, that you can identify with, you know, the idea of dealing with something very heavy like that and how it can affect your performance, right?
Well, I mean, it's always tricky to kind of get inside the psyche of how everybody's going to handle something, because obviously you could look at the flip side of that with Brett and when his dad passed, and it was completely galvanizing and
right.
Something everybody
great
kind
point.
Of coalesced around, and we really took that and I thought ran with it until we didn't. I don't know what you could have did. Was there no doubt? I think that funeral, because I went up to it as well, I think it was either a Thursday or Friday before that game. And it was, I mean, it's heartbreaking. And you see someone in pain like that, that you care about, and he's obviously a huge part of what you're doing. Players will compartmentalize, no doubt, but there can also be a cloud hanging over you that is really hard to kind of get out of. And when you factor that in along with some rust and you get off to a slow start, and you, at that point during that season, Kansas City had beaten them, but outside of that, it was pretty smooth sailing. There wasn't a ton of adversity that group had to deal with outside of that year.
Right.
And for whatever reason, it just things didn't click, and you know, they couldn't come back from it. So there's a lot there. I'm not saying you blame any of it. There's a, you know, the defense that year wasn't very good. That's
agreed.
Another part of it that you have to look at. It was, this offense is so blanket good, nobody's going to be able to keep up. Well, you just a little bit off, and that's why I'm a little concerned Saturday. It doesn't take a lot. Postseason, you're playing a good football team. You're not playing a bunch of schlubs where you can fiddle-fuddle around and, oh, don't worry about it, we'll figure it out and we'll overdo it. That's not how playoff football works typically. So that game, you fuddle and fiddle around, and next thing you know, you're down big at half and you can't come back.
Yep.
I don't think the Bears' offense is at that point, and their defense certainly isn't, but when your defense at that point wasn't as good, you can't make a stop, then you're just chasing your tail. That is not going to be the case this Saturday, I don't believe.
Yeah, and Mike did mention there was a throw early in the game that should have gone for a touchdown that Rodgers and Greg Jennings missed by just a smidge, right? And that may have been exactly what we're talking about here, right? That two-week layoff, both of those guys did not play in that Lions finale, and then you have the bye week. So maybe that is part of it. I will, again, reiterate, I am very curious to see how they come out offensively. Because everyone knows that if they go three and out to open the game or Love throws a pick, it is going to be, well, should have played your guys. Jordan Love hasn't played in 2.5 games. And
Matt LaFleur knows that. He knew that when he made that decision.
Yep.
Obviously, the decision was out of his hands in that Baltimore game. But last week, this is the deal when you're a big boy coach, man. You make these decisions knowing second guessing can be right around the corner. You always do what you believe is best for your football team, and you can live with that. This is how he feels. We'll see if it's the right decision.
All right, we need to try and get recombobulated here after a couple of technical glitches with our internet in Madison. So we will kick off the 11 o'clock hour in 2 minutes after I tell you, talk about getting it right. That's, of course, what Associated Bank does when it comes to customer service. They've got the best customer service in the industry, and they've got all the awards to prove it. Whether it's Packers checking, Badgers checking, or Brewers checking, you can show your fandom, of course, but also they've got early pay, so you have access to your direct deposit up to 2 days early. They've got credit monitoring to make sure you're ready to make that big purchase. And, of course, they've got the fraud protection that's as good as it gets. I experienced it myself. More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN, sponsored by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
Wildy and Tausch back with you, I think. Joshy working hard to get us up and running as Jesse and Ashton and the crew in Madison work on getting us to where we need to be. Tausch, you know what this throws a big monkey wrench into?
Iron Jock.
Yes, indeed. Caller 178. Joshy, get ready. Tausch, as we kind of try and recombobulate here, the other part of the discussion with Halfley yesterday was the reality that their run defense had been pretty good for most of the year until it wasn't. Right?
Yep.
And that was obviously, and that's the last image we have of their defense, is how poorly it played against Baltimore, because what they did against Minnesota was with none of their frontline guys. We also know, as I think you mentioned even before Waddle did, this is the third-ranked run offense in the league. This is what they do. And Ben Johnson, arrogant though he may be, is also really, really smart. So to what degree do you expect him to say, you know what? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. We're going to run the football down these guys' throats just the way the Baltimore Ravens did.
I would think, I mean, when you start factoring in everything, that is, A, what they're best at, and then you can run, you know, play action and things off of that. That has to be the thought process, and you look at what the defense is doing and how beat up they are and how much time they've been on the field, you know, the last month of this season. You have to – I always tell you guys that coaches have an idea of what the game flow is going to be. And whether or not that is what's how it's going to shake out, we don't know. But you go into it with that plan, and then you alter it as you see fit and need to do. Ben Johnson is going to go into this, and, you know, it could be sloppy down there. I don't know if it's going to be snowy, and I think there's talks it's going to be windy and everything else, which is, if I'm a Bears fan, that's what I'm praying for. That you want it sloppy and windy, because Jordan Love wants to throw the football. He's got a strong enough arm, he can cut through it, but obviously the better the conditions, the easier it is to throw. That's how Ben Johnson's going to look at this game, and whether or not they can execute it, because you look at what the Baltimore Ravens did, it's the biggest concern I have. And I thought Green Bay did a decent job in that second game, holding, you know, Manungai and the crew down. But I would just think it is going to be, let me see if you can do this consistently, because that is where the Bears shine, and that is what they need to do to win this game Saturday. And it's going to be a pretty simple, you know, the games. I know we're going to do all of our stuff tomorrow on Friday for the Saturday game. But this is as big of a line of scrimmage game as we've. That is what will determine Saturday night's result. Who's going to win that line of scrimmage, and especially when the Chicago Bears are on offense?
Let's look at the flip side then. My question would be, from the Packers' offensive perspective, two things. One, if it's going to be a game where you want to win the line of scrimmage, obviously, how much better of a chance do you have of that if you have Zach Tom playing instead of J-Mo, Jordan Morgan? And then two, if Matt LaFleur calls you after they're practicing in Lambeau because their practice field is insufficient today. Apparently they're having some issue with the turf or with the grass on both of their practice fields, so they're inside Lambeau for practice today. But if Matt LaFleur called you after he got off the Lambeau practice field and asked, what do you think our offensive thought process should be? What do you think we should do? What should we lean on? What would you say? Especially when you don't know what the conditions are going to be.
Now, I want – this needs to be a Jordan Love, Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, Jaden Reed game. And, yeah, you can hope to get Josh Jacobs going, and that would be great. He's as fresh as he's been. I think this is a pass to get the run game going type of deal. Now – obviously, if it is a monsoon and the winds are coming off of Lake Michigan at 40 miles per, you have to adjust and understand that that can also be a part of this. But I want this game to come down to Jordan Love versus Caleb Williams. If I'm Green Bay, I love that. And yes, Caleb Williams has made big plays in the fourth quarter. He's been, you know, he's made some clutch plays, but Jordan Love is a better quarterback, and I want to see him. He's got more playoff experience. This is a Jordan Love game. This is where he kind of takes that next step, and it all is going to start Saturday night.
I thought it was an interesting conversation that we had with Jordan yesterday, because I don't know how you should view his playoff track record. It's three games worth, right? He was unbelievable in Dallas. He had that perfect passer rating until Matt LaFleur panicked and put him back into the game, and then Tucker Kraft dropped the pass. So he finished at 157.2. For two quarters plus the third quarter, except for the last play of the third quarter, which was an interception, he was really good in that game too. And then he throws the pick at the end of the third quarter, and then he throws the pick at the end of the game when they have an opportunity to go win the game. And he throws it on first down, and he throws it into triple coverage, late, over the middle. Last year, he bangs his elbow in the Bears game in the finale. I'm not saying there's causation there, but certainly he was dealing with some measure of injury. But he throws three picks, and Keyshawn Nixon fumbles the opening kickoff. You're not going to win a road playoff game turning the ball over four times. You're just not.
No, you're not.
So in our conversation with him yesterday, maybe we'll be able to play some of the audio tomorrow, but he said somebody else had asked him about his playoff history, and he talked about the lessons that you take from games like that. And so later I followed up, because, you know, I'm a follow-up guy. Well, what exactly were the lessons? Like, what do you learn from that? Like, don't throw interceptions? Obviously, you don't want to throw interceptions.
It's a good lesson.
But I think the lesson for him, and this is kind of what he said, was basically, look, don't try to do too much. And I'm curious, Tausch, having played in as many playoff games as you did, is that a real thing that you have to tell yourself? Hey, I know it's the playoffs, but I've been doing it the right way all season long. Don't suddenly try to do more because you're going to end up getting less. Is that a thing, or am I making that up?
Well, it's not fair to ask me that. I think offensive linemen aren't going to change their mindset all that much. You're going to be a little more amped up prior, but once you're playing, quarterbacks are a different story. That's why their legacies are built on that, on what they do in the postseason, because they touch the ball every play and they make these decisions, and it's the natural urge is you want to be even better than what you've been. And in most cases, if you believe in the rest of your team, you don't need to do that. Sometimes you fall by, you know, that San Fran game, I think, that's where Jordan's inexperience showed. You had an opportunity to go out and tie that football game, and instead of taking what the team, what the San Francisco defense was giving you, you wanted to make a big boy play, and it didn't work out. That happens. You grow from that. And then last year, for whatever reason, you know, the sloppy play to finish the season, and Philly's defense is obviously very good. They're a championship team. So you factor all that in. I would say it's kind of a mixed bag for where Jordan's at. But Jordan Love this season, this is his best regular season, no doubt about it, from start to finish. He missed a couple games here at the end, but the command that he had and where he's at with this offense, and I think that they finally have kind of figured out how they can move the football without Tucker Kraft and his, you know, what he brings to this group. I think it needs to be Christian Watson and Jordan Love need to be, they don't need to be Jerry Rice and Joe Montana, but they need to make some big plays. And if that's the case, you're going to be in a great spot. If not, to me, it feels like Jordan Love needs to play maybe a tick higher than what he's been throughout the regular season. He doesn't need to. He doesn't need to focus on that. I think it just needs to be even a notch better than where he was. And he had a really good regular season. Matter of fact, he was in the MVP race until that fateful day in Denver.
Right. And I think people, especially after the performances of Malik Willis and people asking Matt LaFleur if Malik Willis might give them a better chance to win, I think people forgot how well Jordan Love played this season. Like, his numbers aren't impressive because he missed extended time, but he had a really good season. And he is one of those people that is kind of expressing that quiet confidence and resolve. But he knows he's got to come out in that first quarter and be on point. Like, if they allow themselves to get in a hole because they play with a rust on their offense, that's obviously a concern. So we will continue to work on some of the technical issues. Josh, he's doing a great job. We appreciate him putting forth that effort. Tausch, tell us again about Prize Picks. What's their projection on more disconnections on Wilde and Tausch today?
I think it was at 2.5 today, so we're still less, but we're getting close. And it's January. Routines are back. The sports action never slows down. Big football matchups. You got Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Oh, and Monday. Oh, baby, 5 or 6 great days, and you should get on Prize Picks. It is daily fantasy made simple. Pick at least 2 player projections. Go more or less. You're done. No drafts, no waiting. Just get on your lineup and let it go. And there's a new feature I love, early payouts. If your lineup starts hot, you can have the option to cash out before the game even finishes. Deposits and withdrawals are fast and easy, and it's available in all 50 states. Download the PrizePicks app today. Use that code WI to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, that is code WI to get $50 in lineups after your first $5 lineup. PrizePicks, it's good to be
right.
There you go.
More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance.
Continuing Wilde and Tausch without Jesse.
Blah, 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 blah.
Blah, 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 blah. It's been a day, man.
Amen.
So Josh Jacobs said something yesterday, Tausch. We referenced it earlier in the show. But Josh Jacobs said something yesterday about Austin Booker's hit on Love. And by the way, the same guy who took my seats in the media auditorium, which, again, he didn't know. I'm not blaming him. But that same guy asked.
Who's the guy Jordan that? Love, who's the guy that Rodgers called a bum? What was his name? I used to do a pregame show with him on the Packers deal.
Oh yeah, Hub Arkish.
Was it Hub? Hub didn't steal your seat, did he?
It was not Hub. No, it was
okay.
It was someone else who I don't know. I didn't know who they were. But he also asked Jordan Love if he thought the hit was dirty from Austin Booker, and Love smartly, I don't know, and he moved forward like he just sort of ignored it. Doesn't want to put up any bulletin board material, which is smart. Good for Jordan. Savvy play.
Did you? But, I didn't think it was like some egregious dirty hit.
I thought it was. You know, it was a penalty. And it knocked him out of the game. And
it was violent.
I said it was. Yeah, it was violent. It was violent, but it wasn't. Again, as Bears fans incessantly pointed out, he ducks his head. I don't think he's ducking it so he can get hit in the head with Austin Booker's helmet. Now, Austin Booker was fined and penalized because it was the crown of his helmet. He put his head down. Not supposed to do that. But I did not think it was in any way that egregious. Now, the fact that it was the second roughing the passer call that Austin Booker got in that game, I think there's a little bit of a compounding there where you're like, all right, what's with this guy? Is he headhunting a little bit? But I don't think that was the case. That said, something that Josh Jacobs said that we're going to play here was how Jordan Love's teammates felt about that hit.
But I know, you know, a lot of guys took that hit that he took a little personal, you know. So I'm not saying we're going to go out there and play dirty or nothing like that, but we're definitely going to defend our brothers.
Well, they didn't do a great job of defending their brother when it actually happened, as we discussed earlier. Tausch, what is this? Is this anything at all? Is this motivationally something they can hang their helmets on? Is it just Josh talking? What is this?
You want to have your teammates' backs, and I get all that. Is that going to be some determining factor in this game? No. Do I think that there's going to be a little more of an edge because it's a playoff game? Yep. Do I think that it's going to be, you know, hopefully the officials stay out of this game? I know that the crew that is assigned is flag happy, and I'm already very concerned. I hope they get into postseason officiating and they don't be tossing flags, but we shall see. I don't think, I mean, listen, man, you can have all of these things that you want to do and you. It's going to come down to going out and executing. Is this going to make these guys more focused during the week? I tend to think not. But there's always, it's nice. I think you use every tool of motivation at your disposal. And if this is going to be any way helpful to bring your team together, Josh, go ahead and use it. I'm all for it because whatever will help you go out and execute and play at a higher level on Saturday, I'm all for it.
So to your point about the officiating crew that you just referenced, and I saw the same thing about how they throw more flags than anybody. They're also the lowest rated of the playoff crews in terms of the grading. You've talked about this before, but if you could do so again, it'd be great. Like Mike McCarthy started doing this at some point during your career. I don't know if Mike Sherman did. But you got scouting reports on officiating crews.
No, Mike Ayers, and I don't remember. Mike Ayers was with Mike Sherman, and that Mike Ayers did that. You start. You want to know everything you can that will help an outcome of a football game, and it's not. Well, we're going to say, is it as easy as going up to the umpire and saying, hey, Johnny, I hope you're doing well, blah, blah, blah. Maybe just greasing him up a little bit, telling him how great he is. It's not really where it's at. You want to have an understanding, especially early in a game, how tight do these guys call this? Because refs want to set a tone for a game, too. And you typically see less penalties as the game goes on, especially in the postseason, because the refs, while I know somebody came out and said that that our buddies with refs, they like being the center of attention. They like it when they can be on TV. They don't want to be disrupting games. They don't want to be Walt Easley or whatever that guy's name is. So you understand how an officiating crew, what are their tendencies, just like you scout a team, and you hope that you at least learn a little something and you can take it into a game. I'm sure the coaches are all over it when they're making their call, when they're talking to the refs before the game. And, hey, listen, you know, we think that they're going to grab Christian Watson a bunch. Don't let them clutch and grab all game. And you want to put a couple of points of emphasis maybe on a few different officials, and that's about where it goes. Otherwise, yes, you're scouting it like you're doing another team, because that unit, officials make a difference in ball games. A holding call, this is where you're at second and four, you get a holding call at second and 14, and you have to punt. In a game like this, you don't know. They didn't punt last time. That
right.
Those little calls that could get called all the time, understand how often does this group call holding, maybe let off if the quarterback gets out of the pocket, can't afford having those hits.
So my guy Justice Mosqueda from the Acme Packing Company unpacked this. Adrian Hill is the referee of this crew. They had the second most gross number of penalties, an average of 17.9 per game. They also called the fewest games, 14. So they didn't work it every week, or a couple weeks where they didn't work at all. So that's one. Two, they averaged one offensive holding call per game more than the NFL average. So that would be something that if you were paying attention, you would notice that. But that's negligible, right? That doesn't stand out to the same degree as some other things might, right?
I agree.
Okay. They apparently also are among the highest in terms of pass interference going each way and defensive holding. So does that mean, A, that they're going to call it tighter in the passing game, and B, does that help, hurt, or not affect the Packers whatsoever? It makes me wonder, given the status of the Bears' secondary, if that maybe helps the Bears. No?
No, I think it would help the Packers. If you're going to call more PIs, I would think that we're going to throw the football more and put more pressure on their defensive backs. So I would think that would be more in line. I love postseason officiating because typically you don't see a ton of yellow. I don't want to see a ton of yellow. I want to see a bunch of players making the decisions and the players fighting through stuff. If it's egregious, absolutely. But I'm not interested in little baby clutch and grabs. And then on 3rd and 20, you're going to give the Bears a first down because Keyshawn Nixon grabbed at DJ Moore. I'm not interested in that. Let these guys play. If it's an egregious, you're tackling a guy and he can't make the play, yep, throw the flag. But if there's a ton of PIs and there's a ton of holdings, I hate watching that. I hate watching that. I dislike. Dislike.
There's that word
watching
again.
Watching that type of football.
You said that on Twitter during one of the games recently, that it's good to see postseason. It'll be good to see postseason officiating return or something to that effect.
Yeah. It just ruins games for me when you're like, we always understand on special teams there's going to be, well, look and see, how's our flag? I'm not interested in that life on regular plays. I'm just not. And I hope most fans aren't, because it ruins. The whole point of this is you want to celebrate in real time. And I disliked Peacock when they didn't put the flag up on the screen. And I had to text Jesse to find out if it happened in real time. That was not fun.
Suboptimal. All right. I do think this is worth noting, because this will require them to go against what they did in the regular season if you're going to get what you want from an officiating standpoint. Their games have a 46% higher defensive pass interference rate and a 102% higher rate in illegal contact calls. As Justice writes, they're not going to let the boys play. Unless, of course, they decide in the playoffs to follow the Tausch rule. So we'll have to wait and see. And, again, we'll have to wait and see.
I don't understand how in a postseason you have a group that didn't even ref every week refing.
Totally agree.
Makes no sense.
I don't understand it either. Makes no sense to me.
I really hope that we're not sitting here on Saturday night and on Monday talking about any big officiating errors. The good news is you have the little sky judge thing going, but that doesn't count with pass interferences and late hits and holdings. Just steer clear, fellas. Don't be flag happy. Call your game, but let's be below what your league average is, because the postseason is different, and we don't want this game decided by Yella.
Agreed.
Tausch, tell us about Jones Dairy Farm.
I will. Jones Dairy Farm, family owned and operated. 7 generations in Fort Atkinson, all the way back to 1889, and they're best known for their all-natural sausage made from the original family recipe. It's also available. You know I love my pork. Get it all crispy on the edges. Throw it into your horchata. They also have chicken and turkey. Sausage is made with fresh meat. No fillers, no nitrates, no MSG. You know, Jones also makes beautiful natural smoked ham and Canadian bacon. And, of course, their dry-aged bacon, Braunschweiger, and all fully cooked meatballs. Find all of Jones' products in grocery stores across Wisconsin. Check the website's product finder at jonesdairyfarm.com.
This may be the longest final segment in the history of Wilde and Tausch, because we're actually hitting the 11:45 mark.
Are we going to try and do, are we going to push Iron Jock to tomorrow? Are we going to try and do
I am working on getting an answer from the powers that be on that.
Joshy, should we do it or not?
I am very curious to see what kind of an approach you would take.
I would be very delicate.
Josh,
if it's Joshy, it's going to be white-gloved. Let's put it that way. But I can't hear anything, so I'm not going to say anything until I don't know what the rules are.
We'll work on getting an answer on that next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella at 855-PELLA-WI or visit online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Once again, we have been infiltrated by Bears fans. Dylan is eager for some attention in the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube chat, which is fine. Again, I'm told that there are a few Packers fans that are known to do this with our ESPN Chicago guys and everything else. So it's fine. Hey, it's all in good fun. But I've had multiple people who have wanted to point out that these guys played without Roma Dunze in their two matchups previously. Tausch, how do you view the talent differential here? And we'll get into all of our preview stuff tomorrow. But, like, okay, if we play this game, well, the Packers played without Zach Tom. Well, the Bears played without Roma Dunze. Oh, the Packers played without Evan Williams in that game. Like, there's part of me that would say, if Evan Williams is playing, they don't mess up the communication on the game-tying touchdown, right? Because Evan Williams is pretty darn good at that. At the same time, if they have Roma Dunze, maybe he's wide open running a different route. So none of us know. But when you look at if they have everyone at full strength, I feel like we agree that the Packers, as of today, January 8th, 2026, have the better roster. Are we in agreement on that, or am I making an assumption?
No, I think, listen, we're going to look at it from that perspective. I know I will. Injuries are always going to play a factor, who's healthiest, who's not, and I think it's, you know, someone said this, and I thought, boy, that sounds crazy. But when you have two of your four best players out on IR, but you can honestly say this is the healthiest this team has been in quite a while. And I think that statement is true. You pretty much have, I know Bo Melton got put on IR, and he's a big piece to what they do special teams. He's caught a touchdown against the Bears. You're about as full strength as you can be without Tucker Kraft and without Micah. you got almost all your guys. You got your starting O-line back now once you, Elgton Jenkins got put on IR. And you got your crew that you want to line up with. You got your receiving core. You got your back end. You got your secondary kind of back to where you want it to be as long as Bullard is good to go. So Green Bay, for not having Tucker and not having Micah, I think you'd say that this is an advantage from a health standpoint to the Green Bay Packers, no doubt.
And again, then it leads to the question of the rust question. They did what they needed to do to get healthy. Now will they play in a way that says, oh, they had a week off of not playing? Now, I did get corrected, or someone did. Maybe it wasn't me. Because somebody said the frontline players had the week off. And Xavier McKinney said, no, we had a game off. It's not like we didn't practice all last week. And they did some more good on good, as they like to say, ones against ones, to try and get them work in a controlled environment. I think that's a worthwhile differentiation, right? I mean, they practiced all week. It's not like they were resting and drinking Mai Tais in the locker room. But still, there's a difference between playing in games and not. And so this will be a storyline. If he is right and they are healthier and they win this game, will there be nearly as much conversation about how he played it right as there will be if they look rusty offensively and they lose this game and the story is they played it wrong by not playing their guys in Minnesota? There's no way there'll be just as many stories about, hey, he made the right decision getting them healthy, as there would be of, oh, boy, he really screwed this up by not having his guys play, right?
Are you legitimately, like, asking me that question? Because
I kind of know what your answer is going to be.
Yeah, but you answered it, too. Like, of course, nobody is going to be sitting here Monday and saying, attaboy, LaFleur, you nailed it, you arrested him, and the boys came out, and if you do, it'll be for 2 seconds, and if you don't, you're going to talk about it for 3 days. And that is the nature of sports. Like, when things go south, you really dig into why. And when you don't, you're celebrating the great, and then you're looking forward to what's next. That's how this works. And I hope, and I think Matt LaFleur hopes, he doesn't need us sitting here patting him on the back saying, oh, great job, Matt. Yeah, you arrested the guys. They're fresh, and they played guns a-blazing, and we beat the Bears by 20, and everybody's happy. That's the reward itself. So, yeah, I mean, you're going to be criticized as a head football coach. I don't care how great you are. You're going to be criticized. I don't care what decisions you make. And you're judged off of the results of those. Everybody can say process, process, process. And that's what you should do. As a coach, as a general manager, you stick to your process that believes it works. But when the results don't come, you're going to be criticized. Matt LaFleur put a big old matzo ball out there of potential criticism for how he approached it. And by the way, Ben Johnson, you could look at it too. If his guys are beaten down and we wear him into the dirt, but there was not really, in my eyes, a decision he had to make. He had to
Agreed.
Do what he did.
Right.
But you miss a guy and all of a sudden now they have a nickel corner in there that can't play and he's not good and you torch him because they had a concussion. That also plays into it. So you want to get as many healthy cats as you can for your game in the playoffs, and then you let the chips fall where they will.
Tell us about Iron Jock. We're not going to give anything away today. We're going to double up tomorrow.
Josh,
but tell us a little bit about Iron Jock.
You didn't want that smoke. Josh, don't want that smoke. We'll do that another day. New year, new goals. Iron Jock is here to help you stick to them. Whether you're hitting the gym, head to work, or just trying to smell a whole lot better in 2026, Iron Jock has you covered. Right now, ESPN listeners take 30% off all Iron Jock gear on orders over $75. Use the promo code ESPN30 at checkout. That's promo code ESPN30. Smell great and start the new year strong with Iron Jock.
That's it for us today, and what an adventure it was.
Can only imagine Jesse's adventure. We haven't heard from him in a while.
We'll have to check in with him. In some ways, that was actually nice. Thanks for coming along for the ride. Thanks to Tom Waddle, who, while we had him, was terrific. And thanks to you for listening. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Hey, it's your friend John McGivern. In a world full of chaos, I'm grateful for a health plan that has my back. Network Health is so reliable and trustworthy, they always put me and over 126,000 members first. It's just what they do and what they've always done for over 41 years. Call 833-7-NETWORK today. HMO and POS plans underwritten by Network Health Plan. Compensation has been provided for using this endorsement of Network Health.